Do you ever relate to Hal Emmerich in any way?
No.
All right, <that's laughs> moving right. I guess, yeah, he is in a lot of ways defined by like horniness, right? And love and stuff. So, a little different.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah. But he loves the Japanese animes.
Yeah, but like I have a show around the fact that I'm usually pretty skeptical of the Japanese animes.
Right. That's a fun time. And this is a fun time. Welcome to the Garnet Wager.
Wait, was that the intro?
Heck yeah, now it is.
Okay. Well, hi, I'm Six.
I'm Alan.
And we have a guest this week. Come on out here.
Hey, I'm Jennifer Uncle, also from Scanline Media, and I'm here to participate in this trivia show.
Indeed. Trivia music. Do, 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 do.
It's a killing game. Killing trivia. Do, 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 do.
Oh, you ruined it.
I love ruining it.
So, Jen, we tasked you, and by we I mean I, because I did this, tasked you with creating a 5-question trivia quiz for us to run for our challenge this week, and you graciously obliged us.
Mm-hmm. I actually have 11 questions, if that works, but we can do 5 too.
No, 11 works. We can do that.
Okay.
I guess that means we should probably get into it. Go ahead with your first question.
Okay. Which anime series is infamous for an almost entirely still, sparsely animated elevator ride that goes on forever? Okay, so,
Alan, what was your answer?
My answer was the classic 1990s anime Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Oh, yeah. My answer was Mass Effect.
With several question marks.
Yeah, well, listen.
It's Evangelion.
You didn't know that?
I remember it now that you mention it, but I haven't seen Eva in, like, how 17 years?
Wow.
It's been a long time.
Oh, we'll need to add that to Saw Anime then at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, question 2. Yoko Taro, who helmed both the Nier and Drakengard series, is married to Yukiko Yoko. Some of her artwork appears in Yoko Taro's games, but what is her most prominent work?
Oh! Oh my god, I totally know this! I'm so happy, oh my god.
Okay, so I'll go first this time.
Yeah, go for it.
I guessed Starry Night by Picasso.
What?
Okay.
I guess I just know Jen and Yoko Taro better because I remember seeing something like, I think our mutual friend Kat was like, did you know that Yoko Taro's wife did the art for Taito Drum Master?
Oh, right. Man, this is all stuff that, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Just okay. Like Twitter ephemera, I love it.
Yeah, technically it's Taiko, but that we'll still give you that.
I did mention like I might have spelled it wrong, so. Cool.
Okay.
Okay.
Question 3. Which JRPG franchise initially included a sensor that encouraged you to literally play it outside?
Oh. I really wanted this game when I was a kid. I thought the idea was really cool.
Okay, so you go first, Alan.
Technically, the full title is Boktai, the Sun is in Your Hand.
So I actually have to one-up you here and our question asker, because there are 3 games. There is Boktai 1, 2, and 3.
I knew that.
I didn't put down, did you?
No.
But, Jen, you're ultimately the judge. Is this a tie, or does one of us win?
I feel like it's a tie, in the spirit of the contest.
Ah, fine.
Yeah, Lunar Knights is a DS game also, so that's...
I'm not talking about Lunar Knights, I'm talking about 3, which never came to the US.
Oh, you're not talking about like... Solar Boy Django Boktai 2?
No, I think I'm talking about, like, what was it called? Like, Tsubasa's Revenge or something? I forget exactly.
Sure, I'll look it up. This is the only podcast where I'm allowed to type, is when we do this. Boktai's 3, Tsubasa's Counterattack. Wait, is this Gundam? Okay.
Are you surprised that Kojima likes Gundam?
Oh, you know what? You're right. I'm not. At all.
Okay.
Okay.
Next question.
What's the name of the rock band that features heavily in 2000s era Sonic games?
Oh, that's the sound of my brain melting.
Have you sent your answer?
I have.
Fuck. Okay.
I feel like it's Crash and then a number.
Yeah.
I put Crash 51, but I don't remember what the number is.
So the answer is Crush 42.
So neither of us got it.
No, I said get jiggy.
You got close.
I was close, but I don't think I was close enough for the point.
Okay. brief break in the video game related questions for a moment. Which film adaptation of a Philip K. Dick novel starred Keanu Reeves, Robert Downey Jr., and Woody Harrelson, and was animated using a technique called rotoscoping?
Yeah, my art class finally paid off, and my film class. Yes!
So I said A Scanner Darkly.
I also said A Scanner Darkly.
Correct? Yeah, it's one of my favorite films, honestly.
Is it really good?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Mm.
I've never seen it or a trailer for it, and I've never taken film class. I just knew that one.
I'll show you a trailer, because the look is really striking.
Hmm.
But yeah,
I think I've seen a few stills, and I was like, oh, that looks weird.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Which fictional drink acts as a connective tissue for Blue Stinger, Ill Bleed, 2064 Read-Only Memories, and Valhalla? If you need a hint, it's a drink that Dan Reichert has mentioned plenty of times.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to come up with a name. I know this thing, but I don't know the name of
it. This is the only drink that's coming to my mind. If this, there's no way this is right.
Alan, what did you say?
I said Pocari Sweat.
I said Scoops, because I know, I'm going to hear it and know it, but yeah, there's no way I'll
probably
come up with
same.
It.
Okay, the drink name is Hassy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have got it.
Yeah, I've heard that one before. Like, a lot of these are facts that I have heard, but just didn't stick with me. All right.
Okay, the next one is, to be honest, a bit less of a question and more of a miniature challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your best impression of Mr. Caffeine, and I will decide a winner.
Let's go back in time, shall we? Diddle 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 do. That's my best.
I know. We're crazy at Ubisoft. We're crazy. We're crazy. I could show up Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Here we go. Doodle 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 doodle. It's the only part I remember.
Okay, so both of those were pretty dang entertaining, so probably just gonna give it to both. That's cool.
Alright, you are the judge. It is your call.
Okay. So question 8. Which Nintendo 64 game had to be packaged with extra RAM as a packed-in accessory due to memory leaking issues?
No, this isn't right. Damn it, you're in the exact era of games that Six knows all about.
What was your answer, Alan?
I said Banjo-Tooie.
I said Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah. Donkey Kong 64 is the one.
Brick!
Okay.
That's a point to Six.
Yep. Question 9. Which legendary rapper made a song cry?
Wait, what?
What?
Which legendary rapper made a song cry?
Oh! Oh! Wait!
Damn it. The question does not make sense to me, so I'm just gonna... I feel like I know hip-hop pretty well. Oh, well.
That's not right. Nope. These are good questions, I will say.
Alan, what was your answer?
I said Lil B, the bass god.
I said Yo Fitty hit that sweet-ass ramp.
Blech. Blech.
So the answer is Jay-Z, who had a song called Make a Song Cry, basically.
I see. Okay.
Let's see. Okay, question 10. What was the original name of a misogynist achievement in God of War Ascension that had to be changed at the last minute before release because Adam Sessler wrote about it?
Yeah.
Wait, sorry. I forgot.
Yeah, I remember this. I was online in 2013.
Okay, so I believe it was Bros Before Hoes, which became Bros Before Foes in their edit.
Really?
Yeah.
I just said Bros Before Hoes.
I feel like that's... I feel like both of you get it, because it was the spirit of the...
fine. All right, well, that means...
yeah, extra info doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, you're just saying that because in this instance it works to your favor.
Correct.
even though the previous question, I proved that the question was wrong, and I still only got a tie.
What's the score right now?
It's 6-5 right now.
Who's winning?
You are.
Good.
Okay. So this final question has the potential for multiple points.
I'm going to pout on Boktai, though.
Aside from starring as Solid Snake, David Hayter wrote screenplays for 3 different superhero movies. I'll give you a point if you name each one.
I can absolutely name one of them without a doubt.
I mean, not a point for each one, just 1 point for each one you can name.
Okay, I can name 2. I just remembered 2. That's it. Yeah, that's it. There's a third one? I mean,
okay, I get 1 point.
Okay, so yeah, let's go ahead and.
All right, I said X-Men, Spider-Man, and then like the Wolverine movie, like the X-Men Origins Wolverine. I think only X-Men is actually right.
I know he worked on X-Men 2 specifically. I remember reading that he had writing credits on Watchmen, the bad adaptation, and then I put X-Men 1 also in case he worked on that.
Okay, so this really worked out for Alan because those are the 3 movies that he wrote screenplays for, superhero movies specifically.
Okay, that means we have an ending score of Alan with 9 and 6 with 6.
Sounds about right.
Thematically appropriate.
Yeah. 69, yep.
Though actually, 6 should probably have 7 because of that Boktai question.
I'll give you the Boktai question.
It doesn't matter. I'm just salty.
I mean, don't you get garnets for your points?
I guess that's true.
Yeah, let's give you the Boktai one.
All right. Okay, cool. I'll take it. I'll bump myself up to a 7 then.
Those were really good questions. I just want to say that was fantastic.
They were. That was a good like a level of like answerable, but still we had to think on them.
Yeah, glad to hear it. Whew. It's sometimes hard to tell whether something's going to be too obscure or not when you're thinking of questions yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alan, you have won, and I suppose that means you can assign me homework.
Yay! I haven't assigned you homework in what feels like ages. I'm so excited. I have less work to do this week.
I mean, you assigned me literally the episode before last. But
you hated it.
So, well, that's definitely going to change.
I am going to have you play a video game this time, because I know you're a gamer. Above all, you are a gamer.
I would say I'm a hardcore gamer.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm all about those headshots.
So, this is another game where I could theoretically play this with you, depending on how we work this out, but I'm going to have you play... I don't actually know when this game came out, but it's a game by Kid Fox Studios called Moon Hunters, which is a criminally underloved RPG for all consoles, but I would recommend playing it on PC because that's where they put all the cool DLC and stuff. It is basically a D&D campaign mixed with like storytelling and like a top-down shooter, like collaborative storytelling. It has, it's co-op focused, but you can play it single player, and it's got just gorgeous art. It is a really fun game. You can actually finish a campaign in like an hour, so I'm gonna ask you to try to finish one campaign, but if you don't, then just the mandatory 30 minutes is fine.
Okay. Yeah, I'd never heard of this before.
Yeah, it's super cool. It's the game they put out before, the one that everyone talked about last year that was all the Game Boy game.
Shrouded Isle?
Yep, it's like the one they did right before Shrouded Isle. I actually met the developers back in 2013 when they were working on another one of their games, Shattered Planet, which is not as good as Moon Hunters. Moon Hunters is fantastic. Whatever. It's very good. They're cool people, though.
All right.
And I hope you like it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jen.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Is there anything you want to promote before we kick you out of our studio?
Well, we have a new Novel Not New episode on Danganronpa V3 that's up at the Abnormal Mapping website. I've done a letter series with Alan on Final Fantasy XII. It's available on the scanlinemedia.com website. And other than that, I guess that's about it. I promise I will watch The Genius at some point.
I was talking to a friend, friend of ours, you both know Kat, yeah. And they were explaining to me that I sounded weird on the episode of Novel Not New, and they're like, you sound like a different person. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And they're like, I guess I've just never heard you angry before. So that's fun. But yeah, definitely check all of that stuff out. But yeah, no, this is the part where we cut to the, you know, the classic voice, right?
The genius. The Garnet Wager is a game where two players compete in challenges while watching episodes of The Genius. Challenges occur once per podcast, and the winner receives a quantity of garnets, depending on the challenge, and can assign media homework for that episode. The loser must report back on that media at the end of the episode. If they liked it, the winner receives an additional garnet. Garnets may also be wagered in various bets according to the whims of the players. Garnets are not obtained automatically. When you successfully win a garnet, you have 5 minutes to claim that garnet or becomes available for your opponent to claim. The first person to say Jin-Ho after 5 minutes have elapsed receives the garnet, so long as they inform their opponent of the acquisition at the end of the episode. This is the Garnet Wager. Begin.
Everyone, and welcome back to this other side half. What are we calling these? Because it's not like the first part's so short, it feels absurd to call this a half.
A segment?
But it's like, if you've only got two segments, that's kind of dumb.
Is it? Is that not what segments are? Are two different things that are from the same thing?
It's not like you're wrong. It just feels like the language is misleading.
Well, then let's fix the language. Let's make a new word.
Stalagmite.
Still, exactly.
That's a sound that's not associated with any known word.
It doesn't. It's not a, you know, it's not a, yeah, exactly what you said. Sorry, I was trying to reframe what you said. Hi, welcome back to the Garnet Wager. We are here to discuss episode 10. 10?
10.
10 of The Genius. This episode is called It's named, as always, after the game that they play, which is confined, scamming, horse, race. Those are four verbs, nouns. I don't know. They're four words.
Now, as ever, this episode of The Genius opens with a quick little montage explaining the game and then going over what's happened so far, right?
Right.
And so let's go over what's happened so far. No, I'm kidding. I'm not actually going to recap the entire podcast, but I do want to go back in time for a second here. First, we're going to go back in the short term, because in our challenge earlier, you won 18 garnets and I won 14, and I would like to claim mine.
And I will claim mine. Oh, God. Every time I promise myself I'm going to remember to do it, I forget to do it. So, thank you.
I didn't want to chance it this time.
I mean, as we keep doing games where we both win some, then we can't make the Jinho as satisfying.
It's pretty satisfying just to hear how upset you get.
Be nice. I'm going to Jinho you in the last episode, and you're going to weep on camera.
That sounds like how that'll go. But going a little bit further back, all the way back to the Catch the Burglar game.
Ah, yes, an old classic.
So I get listeners who listen to the show, and then they, you know, they casually message me about stuff that happens, which are little tidbits of like, oh, you guys kind of got this thing wrong, or like, here's a little more information on this, right?
Yeah.
And usually, like, there are instances where I'm like, oh, that should probably go on the show, but usually it's like, oh, okay, that's neat, but, you know, whatever, right?
Yeah, thanks for the heads up, but I'm good. Like,
mm-hmm. Or like, thanks for the correcting me that I used the wrong honorific or something, but it's like, ah, okay. I don't, you know, not useful to bog the show down with that.
Yeah.
But there is one that listeners have kind of been on my case about, and I've come around and I feel like I should correct this one.
Ooh.
Because in Catch the Burglar, I kind of accuse Jinho of intentionally misleading everyone as to how the rules work. And that's not true. And my bad. I misread the situation. Sorry, Jinho. So,
sorry to Jinho. There's our podcast episode name.
Good thing we don't do episode titles.
It's pretty stressful. Actually, what am I saying? I don't do episode titles.
I do episode titles on Neutral Game and Bottle Crow. Bottle Crow are the fun ones. Bottle Crow, if I'm allowed to say, I do some fucking good titles on Bottle Crow. Throne of the God thing. Let's see. Where's another? A lot of these suck. let's see.
I do that some good
Zeitgeist
all of them suck.
Oeuvre. I do good stuff. I do good work. So, but we don't have to worry about that here. It's just the title of whatever the main match was.
Kind of fine. Scamming horse race, not to be confused with scamming horse race.
Mm-hmm. So everyone, we're at final four now. And we get everybody filing in. We don't. My bad. I said that out of instinct. But actually, what we get is a quick summary of, like, the final four and what their strengths are. And it's kind of interesting to see how they frame it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of, like, talking about, like, Kyungren's political skill, but she's untested in one-on-ones. And Songmin playing mostly on instinct, but sometimes his instincts lead him astray and stuff. And then we get our first ever... I would say our first ever direct shot of the bandage man, which kind of made me do a double take. We're always looking at the TV, but this time it's like, no, this is just the footage.
Yeah, this is this is like the room where it happened.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, for this next game, you're going to need to invite a guest that you can trust to help you. And then we get, everyone making the call.
This was the most jarring for me because I have never seen them outside of the genie's house.
Right?
So you're like, Songmin's like in like a sweatshirt in like some random area of Korea. Like, what is going on?
It's strange. It's a strange, yeah.
Jinho, my hero, the god, is just playing StarCraft Brood War.
It's very, I imagine they told him to, but still, it's still a very good shot of him just like, playing Brood War or just idling on the menu or just like commanding his units to like, you know, like allocating his workers to mine some minerals. And it's just like, man, that's right. That's the guy.
Yeah,
that's what he does.
You are immediately reminded who they all are outside of the game. You're like, oh yeah. This is great. Do you want to get into Brood War 6? Sorry, I just need to ask.
No, I'm bad at RTSs. I don't.
Yeah. Well. So we'll both play together. We'll like do duos or whatever, duo Maxwells, and we will just get together. It'll be like that time on Idle Thumbs, like 8 years ago, where they were like, we played StarCraft 2 a lot, and then we got good at it.
But like the key to that was that Nick was actually good.
Fuck. But you're good at every video game.
I'm super not like the thing. Like I used to play chess. I used to play chess a lot.
Uh huh.
And the thing that, like, everyone who played with me would sort of comment on is, like, the fewer pieces you get, the better you play. It's like, yeah, I know, there's too many pieces. I'm bad, I lose track of things. I would do terribly in StarCraft.
StarCraft,
I just don't have the
mind
for it.
Right.
Yeah. I also hate building things, I just like giving orders, I don't want to build anything.
Oh, you're not a turtler?
No, I mean, like... I just don't enjoy the economy game. I enjoy, like, the maneuvering formations and, you know, engagements. But, like, fucking somebody else build the shit for me. I don't want to.
Yep. Oh, wait. Dawn of War. Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, actually, I was kind of good at Dawn of War.
Dawn of War 2 is fun. I need to play Dawn of War 2 again. Oh, my God. That game's too good. I was going to say I've never gotten into a strategy game, like, deeply. But I've tried so many of them, and I bounce off of most except Dawn of War because it's basically a... three-character controlled Diablo-like, if you're being honest.
Yeah.
It has very... Like, it definitely is, like, tactical, but positioning doesn't really matter, and there's no building, so it's just, like, throw the guys at the guys. But that's Jinho.
Throw the guys at the guys?
No. I'm transitioning. I'm saying that...
Throw the guys at the guys! Throw the guys at the guys! Throw the guys at the...
Who does Jinho enlist? He does not enlist Boxer. Mistake on the podcast.
Yeah, no, I screwed that one up. I should have recognized when the guy in the preview said that he was the genius Terran. They were talking about Nada, not Boxer. My bad. I just saw Terran and got excited. Nada's a good player. I'm not trying to disrespect Nada. Just Boxer's hype, and I want to see Boxer. But, yep. We got... A pretty incredible player in his own right. Nada is Jinho's guest.
Question: Does he still play StarCraft? No, right?
I mean, not actively. Like, I mean, like there was an exhibition like a year or two ago where he played, you know, StarCraft 2 and stuff. But like, no, I don't think he's active anymore.
Cause the reason I asked that is, I mean, we're okay talking about the end of this episode real briefly, right? Is that just the thing we're allowed to
sure.
do?
Sure, why not?
After the end of this episode, I was like, man, I want to see what Sungyu does these days. And he's still in Infinite.
I don't think it's you know, you can certainly age out of the idol game or the music game, right? But it's not the same as, you know, it's not like, oh, and the fine nerves in your hands are gone and you can no longer be an idol. It doesn't work the same way, I don't think. You know?
As long as you're still, like, he's still super cute.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and I mean, like, Jinho was out of it pretty much, like, he was still playing, I think, a little StarCraft 2, but he was mostly out of the game by the time the Genius came out.
Yeah.
So.
I just thought that was interesting, because, I mean, just that's a good segue, but who does Sungyu enlist?
Sungyu enlists Lee Junyup, who is his CEO and producer. Which turns out to be maybe a bad choice, as we'll get into.
My favorite, like, K-pop fun fact is that most of the men who are, like, big shot CEOs of K-pop, like, mega corporations, were in K-pop boy bands in the 90s.
That's great!
Like, that's the arc that most of them take, is, like, I was in a boy band. It's like, imagine being in Backstreet Boys and then just running, like, well, no, it's not as cool thinking about it like that. It's just something really cool about the legacy of, like, this guy's in his 40s and now he runs a megacorp of, like, 18 to 23-year-olds who make him infinity money.
I mean, like, you know, Justin Timberlake's doing okay.
True, but he's not, like, they don't, because boy bands aren't around the same way that they used to be.
Yeah.
Like, One Direction was, like, the last, like, huge boy band, and they're not a band anymore. So, even if Justin Timberlake still is in music, he still produces music, he isn't, like, a CEO of a music company.
Right. That's true.
So
I'm going to make you introduce one because I was confused by this person's name Who's Kyungran's guest?
Oh, God. Oh, God. Is this written somewhere so I can read it at least?
I thought yep. so, but then a thing happened that I was confused.
Okay. I
so
see...
you go ahead and read it, and then we'll get into it.
That's... Is that really... Did you write this from how it was in the episode subtitles?
I wrote it from subtitles.
Okay. So his name is Church Dung Saing.
But then later on, someone calls someone else Dong Sang, and I'm okay. like, is that like a title? Is that like Nuna or like? I guess this is one of those situations where we're gonna get corrected. I'm just gonna call him Church. I was completely confused as to this person's name, and I don't think it's my fault.
No, I know like first and last names are. I mean, they're. I think they're just flipped in Korean. Like, I think I just learned in this episode that I believe Songmin's last name is Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I didn't even realize that these people. I like, of course they have last names.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd love to be correct on that.
We should say surname because, or like family name, because it is not last name. You know.
True. True. Well, yeah, last suggests second. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, Songmin's guest.
Oh
my God! They put us in the show. They fused us and put us in the show.
It's so exciting. So Songmin's guest is another musician named Haha, who appears to be just Alan and I sort of shoved into one person who knows Korean and has amazing glasses.
He's so funny and full of energy. I love him.
He's great. He's great.
His back and forth with Songmin is maybe the best like thing about this episode. Because this was firmly an episode, I messaged you while watching it, where I was like, all right, the game barely matters because I already know the rules of Scanning Horse Race, and the difference is meaningful and interesting, but it's just an excuse to have more characters here. So I'm just going to pay attention to the character stuff and have fun with that.
Yeah, and the character stuff was out of control this episode. It was great.
Yeah, it is. It was a very long episode. It was almost 90 minutes. I think it was like an hour 24 or something.
And
they use all of that time to just like fill it with jokes and stuff, but like I don't know, the horse race did not need to go that many rounds. It's like 7 rounds.
Well, I mean, so okay, I'm fine with it because so I'll go ahead and jump around a little bit. I'm fine with all the parts of it that are the horse race. I think all of that is good.
Yeah.
I think all of that is entertaining, and it's a little on the long side, and like maybe the game is settled. But it's okay because they're all doing such great character work.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting like Sung-yu like increasingly frustrated because this is part of why I say that Lee Jung-yup was not necessarily a good choice for Sung-yu's guest, because this is the ultimate reveal of what's been nagging at me this whole time. Sung-yu is a person who cannot stand it when he can't control a situation.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what this episode is he's having to sit in a room and ask someone to do something, and they don't always follow it to the letter, and he's just losing his mind.
It's kind of fascinating. Like, with the letter passing and stuff, that was, like, his attempt to gain, like, some control and get some humor out of the situation, but he clearly, like, felt the struggle of, I'm telling this guy to do something, and I can't guarantee that he does it, and the game's just gonna go bad, even though I should be able to do this.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like part of the thing is, like, I think all the guests wanted to help their respective players, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But the thing is, like, Songmin is the only one who really made it feel like a partnership.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, like, I think part of why Sung-yu felt so helpless is because it was, one, it was literally his boss, so he can't totally boss this guy around, and when he tried, he was treating the guy kind of like crap.
You're referring to who's, sorry?
I'm referring to Lee Jung-yup,
yeah.
Sung-yu's CEO and guest. And it's like, you're being disrespectful to him, you're being bossy, and he's also just naturally, socially, a person not inclined to listen to you. Like,
yeah. He's your senior.
Mm-hmm. So, like, of course it didn't, of course that you weren't in lockstep because of the way you treated him. And, like, Jin-ho, I more understand where he's coming from, but Jin-ho kind of does a thing that Jin-ho does sometime, where he sort of gave into despair and started being kind of mean to Nada, because Nada, frankly, was fucking up. But it's like, that's salvageable if you don't demoralize Nada, but he's like, no, you fucking, okay, you didn't even play, all right, I guess we're done, I'll get ready for the DM. And it's like, okay, well, now he's not gonna do a good job of helping you because he's demoralized.
I think a thing they didn't make clear was, like, when they're in the room and their guests are playing the game, can their guests can hear them, right?
I mean, if they shout.
Yeah, so when there's, like, screaming, like, hey, don't do that, they hear that.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I ask is, and because you mentioned, like, all of the guests clearly want to help their player, I felt like Church, like, was playing a different mind game or something.
I mean, I think Church, like, we'll talk about, like, strategy, but, like, so, we're gonna jump around a lot this one. The rules of the game have been changed. I'll quickly lay out the changes to Skimming Horse Race. The same rules as before, but players are confined, guests can move around freely. Everyone starts out with a hint, then a hint will be given to everyone. Every time there's a break, there are, like, three breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And then also there are hints to be bought, and the prices increase. And also guests have their own chips, and they bet separately. All that said, there's a hint that's given out. I think it's, like, the second break hint that says, like, the horse that's in last at the end of X turn will come in second, right? At the end of the sixth turn.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
And Kyungran, like, that's a blatant clue that you know is true because everyone sees it. It's on the big TV. And then the sixth turn comes and there's a horse in fifth. And Kyungran's like, well, obviously, fifth horse isn't worth anything. It's like, Kyungran, you're literally not reading the hints.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point where Church starts to disregard her. And, like, it's a bummer. And I can see Kyungran getting frustrated. But if you're Church, you're like, I came here to help you and you can't help yourself. I have to make some of these calls myself.
Right, like, there's a difference between the way it sometimes seemed like Church was playing, which is Kyungran's telling me to do something and I'm going to go against her wishes with the intent that she will be happy that I made a better play than she could have, which, mm-hmm. like, works if he makes a better play. If he doesn't, then it just feels like, why did I invite you? You're, like, technically, this, what this setup for the game reminded me of often was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which is actually a game show I like a lot, they always have the option to call a phone a friend, or at this point it's like text a friend or whatever because it's 2018, mm-hmm. and we're in hell. And whenever they would call a friend, it would either range from like, I know this, you're wrong, I'm brilliant, and then they would be wrong and that would suck, or this guy's my best friend, he knows the answer, and then he doesn't, and then you just wasted a lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it's more of the former where it's like, no, like, I'm the professional, like, I can handle this for you. Whereas I feel like if I was somebody's guest, I just do what they tell you to do. If they lose, it's their funeral.
I mean, it is, but, like, I don't, like, if you were on the show.
Yeah.
And, like, and we were in the same situation, I'd be like, I want Alan to do well here. I want Alan to succeed. And I am Alan's friend, and I know that Alan is fallible, and I just heard this person. Well, and I just heard basically, like, the announcers of the game say, by the way, this horse will get second, and you said, well, this horse won't get second. I'm like, okay, Alan must be, like, confused or stressed or something, but, like, this is the most obvious concrete you're wrong right now moment. You know?
Right, like, I should fix this.
If it was a situation of, like, I'll trust my gut over your gut, no, it's your neck on the line. But when it's like, I know factually you're fucking up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you do that. You know?
That's the challenge. That's, like, the whole challenge of the game is the relationship and testing the relationship between the guest and the player. And mm-hmm. seeing, like, how in sync they are versus, like, how much does the guest know that the player does not. And, like, exploring that space, I think, is where the episode shines the most. At least in the game, mm-hmm. like outside of the like goofs and in between stuff, I think that's where the game. I didn't feel annoyed or frustrated that this is just Skimming Horse Race again with a twist because the twist is very meaningful.
Yeah, and also just like it is amazing to see how these people like approach partnership, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like, I mean, Songmin wins because he approaches partnership in such an equal and intelligent way where, like, Haha is the best partner he could have picked, not just because Haha seems to be smart and has his head in the game, but, like, they approach situations the same way. When they're doing, like, the pre-show, where everyone gets in the room and is talking, you know, the walk-in,
uh-huh.
And then they start up the music, and the music starts to kick up as they're fading towards credit. And then Haha goes, wait, hang on, let's all be friends, and makes them all grab hands and do a little friendship circle.
Circle like, friendship dance.
It's like, oh yeah, you are absolutely Sungyu's best, or Songmin's best friend. There's no way you're not. You yeah. guys are so in sync, it's ridiculous.
That's, I would love to meet, to know somebody like Haha in real life. Like, that's somebody I aspire to be, because he's very, trained to be interesting in a television sense, in like a reality TV. Like, I'm the funny wacky guy who like really spontaneously just says like, let's all grab hands and do a dance in a way that's not annoying or cloying. He just feels like he's trying to like earnestly get the best out of everyone in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also like a little bit of like winking, like, yeah, we're having fun on a TV show. And it's just like, he's really good. It's like he has a grasp of the show's dynamic better than, honestly, like some of the players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's really fantastic. And the dynamic between him and Songmin is the best thread of this show.
For sure. Oh my god.
There's the moment where, so Songmin, Sungyu buys all the clues, right?
Yeah.
He spends the garnets and just gets all three clues. And that's a ton of garnets. It actually is part of the reason he and Songmin aren't in the same page today, because Songmin gets really pissed off that Sungyu's wasting all these garnets. That's how he sees it. He's like, listen, like, you are reducing the prize pool for whoever wins this show.
Right, yeah.
What are you doing? I've got payments to make. I need that money. And Sungyu comes across really as a villain this episode in a way, like,
yeah.
I feel like it's kind of been building towards this with, like, his, you know, like, his, like, trolling of Kyungran last episode. But, like, this episode, he's, you know, like, he has his CEO as his, you know, guest and helper, and he's kind of, like, rude and dismissive to him and bossing him around. At one point, he literally shoves him out the door. And then, like, he buys the clues. And, like, everyone comes to him for clues, and he starts laughing and says, like, I've already won. Isn't it only right that the rich win in a capitalist society?
Oh, my God.
Like, it's such a hard heel turn that it's kind of incredible.
I think he's been, like you said, he's been leaning into that for a while. And, of course, the episode where, spoilers, he gets eliminated is the one where he fully, like, assumes the mantle and is like, I am the bad, shitty guy now.
Mm-hmm.
Also, by I've been destroyed in like a really intense way.
Yeah, and you know, he wasn't that far from winning, honestly.
True, it's a really tight game.
But like, you know, no one was really willing to work with him, so
even when there's four people, you still have to have somewhat of an alliance with some people. Like, you cannot.
Mm-hmm.
Now is still not the time to go full on lone wolf, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So everyone's figuring out the clues. There are one detail that I really liked is after they are like, okay, everybody go to your rooms. And then there are guards posted on every door, which is like,
not armed, but like functionally armed.
I mean, they're wearing like suits and sunglasses and just have their backs pressed to the wall.
Yeah.
And if you try to poke, like at one point, like, Sungyu throws a letter to Songmin and it falls short, and like Songmin reaches to grab it and the guard like pushes his hand back in.
That's such a funny moment.
Oh, it's so good. That whole, oh, there's so many great moments. There's the moment of like, so Songmin and Haha managed to figure out who the winning horse must be without buying any clues. They just do the work. They do the footwork and figure it out. And there's two great things about this. One, there's the announcer explaining Songmin's logic here. And he's like, oh, and he figured this, and he figured this, and he figured this, and he ultimately decided this. And then the announcer says, this is a bit of a jump of logic.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah,
whatever works. Which is incredible.
And he says,
incredible.
This is a bit of a jump of logic, but whatever works.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
so, like, weirdly judgy from the announcer. I love it.
And so immediately after that, Haha is like, okay, we figured out the answer, and we need to figure out how to basically place these bets without getting caught. We need to go for comedy now.
Yeah.
And I, like, basically jumped up in the air and cheered. Because,
we're having
like,
fun!
They, like, they just start, like, pretending like they're completely not on the same page, and, like, Song-min is, like, desperately shouting from his room, like, haha, what are you doing? No!
Right.
No!
And then he like, immediately whispers, like, that was good, right? That was good.
It's so good. Oh, it is... Is it my... It might be my favorite moment of this entire show so far.
Which one, specifically?
Just, like...
That whole, like,
we're like,
having
fun. Yeah, like, ha-ha at the table, pretending to defy Song-min, and Song-min pretending to lose it. As they're both, like, internally, like, cackling at what a good act they're putting on. Like, ugh. It's just... It's everything I want from this show. And what other notes? We're jumping all over the place. I realize I've probably destroyed your notes with the way I'm talking about this episode. Whatever things did you want to point out?
Yeah, I usually take very like chronological big notes. I had a lot of stuff about how it's fun watching Song-min and Haha just like have fun. I have that moment about the shade from the announcer. I wrote here, Jinho's partner is collapsing like a star. He's just like making these bets and then being like, oh, it's almost like watching when Yunji was like losing the game that got her eliminated. And you're like, oh my God, you missed the whole thing. You missed the whole game. You're just gonna fall apart. You're just losing terribly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
There's a great moment where like Sung Yu tries to lead everyone off by having the strategy where they're betting on horse number six when that's not gonna win.
But six and always Song-min wins. I watched the Garnet Wager.
And Kyung-ren and Song-min both know this isn't true, right? They're like, no, I know horse six isn't going to win. And they just don't fall for it all. And later they're talking about it and they're like, they were trying to lure people away. They were trying to lure people in. And Kyung-ren's like, but nobody was lured in. And Church is like, no, one person was lured in. And then it cuts to a shot of Nada, and just the big subtitle says "Genius Taren."
Yep.
And it's the best shade. Oh, it's so good! Like, look at the genius who's the only person who got suckered.
That's like the best irony I've ever seen on this show. It's so good. Oh my God!
They're getting so much better at being like teasingly, like mocking, like sort of like, oof, you goof. That I'm really excited for. Like, honestly, I'm excited for season two because I feel like this stuff has really picked up in the latter half of the show.
Yeah, it's something they can refine because it always, always keeps up with the thing we talked about in episode one, which is like the show is never mean.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't mean spirited to its players. It's just like, oh, this guy's, what is he doing? What, look at this clown. Are you guys having fun watching this person? Like, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like celebratory of its own bullshit, basically.
Yeah. It's so great. Other great moments. Let's see. We get, late in the game, we get Jinho, like, as like, there's a little, like, going into the last round of betting, he just throws himself back in his chair and just says GG, and then it pops up the little, like, StarCraft yellow GG. Which is, perfect.
Perfect.
You're doing it. A Street Fighter?
I was. Maybe
Street Fighting? Okay. Cool. Tell us about... You must have notes about Sungyu's three letters.
Yes, I was exactly what I was going to get to next. So Sungyu and Song-min, realizing that there isn't much they can do to guide their teammates at this point, or what they can, they take some kind of like respite time to just kind of like build a narrative that they're just two star-crossed lovers, madly in love, but trapped by fate to be so far apart from each other. Realistically, it's mostly Sungyu playing this game, but Song-min is like definitely having fun with it. I think I didn't write the text for the first one, but the first one is something like he writes this letter and then he's like Song-min and throws it across, and then Song-min catches it, or like the first one like falls short and he has to grab it, and it's like Song-min. My love, my distant lover, I've always loved you. I want you to know that I care about you and respect you. I've always respected you and your talents. And then it just becomes this goofing of like, Song-min, put a garnet in the paper and throw it back. I've made it light enough for you to throw it. And then Songmin's like, yeah, 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 yeah. All right, here you go. Hey, Sungyu, throws it over. This paper is very light. Yeah, it is very light. And then he closes the door in his face.
And then yeah, he writes a third letter. And the third letter is like, my love, that last paper was a little light. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it.
I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I hope we can get past this.
It's funny because, like, I don't know if this would have worked. Because, like, I mean, the writing obviously is just ridiculous in a way that's, like, fun, but also kind of appealing to Songmin's melodramatic sensibilities.
Right.
But, like, the giving the garnets actually does kind of feel like, hey, you know, like, you've bought immunity from me before. I'm trying to buy it from you, right?
Yeah.
But Songmin doesn't have any control over that. Like, there is no handing out of a token of life this time. At the point that Sungyu is doing this, Songmin is unable to affect the game in any way. So I don't know what he was going for, besides the joke. If there was any serious element to it, I don't know what the point was.
No, I think it's a goof.
Okay.
I think it's just like, it would be funny if he gave me Garnet. Like, I think Sungyu obviously knows that, like, this game isn't gonna, like, this letter thing is just us having fun and, like, goofing off.
But also, he keeps, like, every time Songmin sort of laughs and shuts the door, Sungyu, like, seems to despair.
I wonder if that's also part of the joke, though.
That's true.
I feel like I've seen people do that bit before where it's like, oh, my love, and it's, you know, it's a silly joke, but it relies on you committing to it. So I think that's how at least I read that, was they were just, like, having a laugh.
It struck me as sort of I thought it was like a mix of that and also Sungyu just wanting to have some kind of control in a game where he had so little.
Right. That's kind of what you mentioned earlier. That's true.
It's just like, he's like, okay, do I have to spend garnets? What do I have to do to have some influence on the outcome, please? You know, just kind of freaking out.
Also, I mean, this, we've hit pretty much most of the good moments, I think. But one of my problems, I guess, with scamming horse race in general is I can never tell who's winning at any given moment until the end. Because I guess, I mean, it's just only whoever has the most chips in the right place at the end is how it's determined. Mm-hmm. So I never know. Like, once they announce the winner, I'm like, oh, all right, I guess they won. Great.
I felt like this time I had a really, like, the last time I, like, there were so many clues, and some of them were lies, and some of them weren't, that it was really easy to have this, like, pile-up of information that was just misleading, right?
Yeah, right.
But this time, I felt like pretty, like, the same time that Songmin and HaHa were like, we've got it, I was like, oh, no, they really do. They've got it. And then it's like, and then Sungyu is next closest, and then Kyungran and Jinho don't have a clue what's going on. Like, to me, it felt like a really clear narrative.
Definitely in terms of, like, them and their relationship to their partners made sense to me, but I guess, I mean, it's just, like, the way that I pay attention to this show is different, I think, ultimately.
That's fair.
Because what I paid attention to was when HaHa and Songmin win it all. First of all, happiest boys in the world.
Oh, they're so excited.
They're, like, hugging each other and, like, high-fiving and jumping up in the air. And then Songmin just decides that this is exactly the time that I'm going to yell, Basudu. Do you any idea what Basudu is? Do you think he's just, like, saying a loud, weird noise?
The subtitles seem to indicate that they didn't know what that meant either.
Yeah.
So I think it was just a generic battle cry of victory. Though you are really burying the lead here, Alan. Mm-hmm. In this talk about Basudu, you're not talking about the fact that when they won, HaHa ran up the stairs to the little balcony, grabbed a trash can full of confetti, and started throwing it down over Songmin.
And it's such a quick shot. Like, I wish they lingered on that more, because that was clearly a moment when they were filming that was, like, hilarious.
And you also have the moment of knowing that earlier on, HaHa was like, pulled a producer aside and was like, can you get me a bucket of confetti?
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Like, that, they didn't show that, but, like, that, this has never happened before.
Oh, you're saying,
where did
I
that
see.
Confetti come from?
Somebody, they he must have asked done that at some point.
Yeah, he must have been like, hey, I want to surprise my friend when we win and throw confetti on him.
Right.
And that's awesome. That's adorable.
So nice. And he's just like dancing around in confetti. They are the happiest boys in the world. And then, I mean, we get the decision of who goes to the DM, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's instant, you know, it's because, Kyungren is excluded from the DM because her, her guest got the most, chips of any guest. So that means she gets a token of life as well.
Right. She got a token of life. She gets Songwen gets a token of life, which is perfect. The people that we want so badly in our top two, are both good. Or I guess Songwen doesn't get a token of life, but he's just, he wins. Or no, he does.
Oh, no, he does. He does.
Yeah. Sorry.
And that means that we're going to the DM with Jinho and Sungyu.
Which, I don't remember if they actually talk about this in the episode, but it's just, it really is one of those moments where you're like, oh my god, Jinho can take down anyone. He says like, oh my god, I guess I'm going to the DM again. But Jinho can take down anyone in the DMs. It's amazing. He's on a three-peat now?
Yeah. He's killing a lot of folks.
And I don't know if he knows that. Like, he's clearly a little bit nervous because Sungyu is very smart. But that's where we find ourselves.
But I mean, also, like, he's on a winning streak, but like, well, yeah, because if he wasn't on a winning streak, he'd be dead. Like, there's no, you can't break the streak.
Yeah, he's constantly
and then,
been teetering because of this. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, like, I feel like this game was, like, it's one thing that he felt like he didn't have much control over the game, right?
Right.
But also, he couldn't figure out what was going on. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, bodes ill. I assume what happened with Kyungran is that there's some, like, one clue or something that she missed that threw her off, because her insistence that it was horse 4 and not 5 was just baffling.
I feel like I might have seen somewhere that she thought, everyone else saying it was definitely not horse, or definitely was horse 5, was lying.
Sure.
And she was so insistent, like, no, bet on horse 4. And he's like, but, and she's like, bet on horse 4. Once she's locked into that, it's like, there's no saving you, you know?
Yeah. I just don't know how we got there. It doesn't make any sense. But, you know, it is what it is. So our death match, we will be getting into with Jinho and Sungyu in a moment. But first, we have homework.
Homework.
Alan, you assigned me to play the PC title Moon Hunters.
I did. I, while we were recording that first segment, didn't even realize that you had played it, because it's only been 2 days. Sorry, behind the curtain.
Yep. No, it hadn't been a lot of time, but I played it.
Word. Yep. Tell me about it. Tell me what it is, first of all.
So, it appears to be a sort of, like, tabletop-inspired twin-stick shooter, basically. Sort of like a gauntlet, almost.
Very much gauntlet, yes.
With some, like, I'm noticing from this particular developer, what's their
Kid Fox Games?
Kid Fox. They seem to have an interest in cults.
Yeah, definitely.
Judging by their game history. And this game is about, the chronicles of various heroes, fighting, like, of the, like, heroes of the, that worship the moon fighting off the uprising of the sun cult. So, I liked a lot of the aesthetics, and I liked a lot of the storytelling style. Like, it really did a fun job of building the world and making it kind of intriguing without being too, like, too mystical and obnoxious, right?
Yeah, it's really cool. It's been a little while since I played it. I'm gonna try and play it again soon, but, the world is very much, like, weird shit happens and we've all come to accept it, which is my favorite kind of fantasy world.
It's very dangerous with those for me.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy for me to feel like you're trying too hard, or like you're just not interested in basing it in anything people can relate with. And I would say that this hits a really nice target of, like, the understandable other. It's like, oh no, this doesn't work like what you're used to, but you can understand the rules and it's not like, it doesn't feel like nonsense, right? I think the weakest part of the game as to what I played. I played about an hour. I want to play more. I just was short on time, as we've mentioned. I felt like the actual gameplay was kind of weak.
Yeah. What? How so? Like the twin stick shooter stuff, not the cooking or the walking around in town stuff?
Yeah, I mean, the walking around town is like you walk up to people and you press E. Like, I mean, you know, I don't know that there's not much to praise or criticize. It's just like, okay, conversations happen. And sometimes you make dialogue choices. That's okay. But like, yeah, the twin stick shooting stuff, like, not just that, like, it's like, okay, you have your primary fire, you have a secondary fire that uses some of your MP, and then you have like a dodge move.
Yep.
It was halfway through my run that I discovered I had a dodge move because they didn't tell me any controls at all.
Yeah, they just kind of flash them up, I think, at, like, one point, and they're in the controls menu, but they never... It mm-hmm. definitely just drops you in. It, like, puts you in that first area where there's, like, a small fight, and then you're just in the game.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, okay, like, left mouse is shoot, right mouse is my special thing. It's like, okay, that's fine, and scroll wheel doesn't do anything. Got it. And then it's, like, a little later on, it's like, here's an upgrade for your teleport. And I was like, my what?
My what? Isn't it, what is it, shift or space?
Space. Yeah. And it's like, that's like, other than like WASD, that's the only other key on the keyboard that does anything. It's like, okay, well, I, like, there's no way I would have guessed that. But also just like, the enemies all felt really straightforward, and a lot of them, like, straight up didn't attack me.
Yeah, they just kind of bounce.
A lot of them, like I'd walk into an area, and it's like, there are instances where, like, at certain points level, you're like, you're teleport, like, you walk close enough to, like, a key object or something, and you are teleported to the center, and, like, walls pop up, and you're in a fighting arena. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't leave until you've killed, like, three waves of enemies or whatever. And enemies would spawn, and they would just stand there. And I'd start shooting them, and they wouldn't move, and then they would die. And I'd be like, okay.
It's actually funny. I didn't assign this to you with this intention, but thinking more about the gameplay arc and, like, systems of Moon Hunters, I'm realizing now how similar it actually is to at least modern day, like, 5th edition D&D in terms of the loop and what parts are fun. So I think your problems with the combat, I definitely agree with. It's very mindless. I love Gauntlet, but the thing with Gauntlet is that it's very specifically, like, not flashy. It becomes more about, like, escaping and solving puzzles and, like, using your resources well and not making foolish decisions. Whereas mm-hmm. the combat in Moon Hunters is just, like, mindless. It's entirely mindless. Mm-hmm. It only gets hard. For me, it was only ever hard in the final boss, which you didn't finish your run, did you?
Oh, no. I finished it easily. I never went below, like, 90% HP.
Yeah. When I played this game all the way through on a Let's Play on a YouTube show I used to do with a friend. And the first time we played it through it twice. The first time we played through it, we died on the final boss with, like, the boss had no health left. And your run ends if you die to the final boss. I think if you wipe anywhere, your run ends, but it was like a big gut punch to be like, oh God, like we were so close. And then he just like takes over the world and that's how it ends. Like you fight the big sun punchy guy.
I mean, it is a roguelike, so that would make sense.
Yeah, and that's why the runs are pretty short. But mm-hmm. I felt like I had a lot invested in my character, and then they were like, like, I think if this game was hard, I wouldn't like it. I just wish that the shooting was a little bit more involved or had a little bit more mm-hmm. tactics to it. That's my. Yeah. I agree, though. That is my biggest problem with it. But I love the vibe, and to go back to D&D, like, I think for me at least, the combat is my least favorite part of D&D, especially early on. Where the current campaign I'm in, my first campaign ever, like, it's still pretty dull. All of the fun in D&D for me is the parts where we talk over stuff and, like, make jokes and roleplay in creative ways. And I think Moon Hunters works best as a co-op game because it is shallow. It's pretty shallow. And you could get over the boringness of the combat if you had somebody else to play it with and just, like, talk with while you mindlessly shoot enemies.
I guess the problem for me is that it's too, like, I didn't see it as, like, you saw it as, like, a D&D game with twin stick elements, right?
Yeah.
I saw it as a twin stick game with D&D elements, and that was unflattering to
it.
Oh, yeah. Because it's like, I mean, I've played, like, 35 hours of Nuclear Throne. I played a dozen hours of Enter the Gungeon. I played a bunch of, like, Assault Android Cactus. I like twin stick shooters that are well done. I like roguelike twin stick shooters specifically, and it's like, it feels enough like, there are moments where it feels enough like Nuclear Throne that it's frustrating to me.
Right, because Nuclear Throne definitely super duper does not need co-op to be fun or interesting.
No, it's like it's really well tuned, it's really intense, and it's like you feel like it's a really twitchy game in a way that I really enjoy. And yeah, this is a lot of like just walking backwards and holding down the fire button.
Yeah.
You get enough
powers to be overpowered regardless of what class you play really quickly. And there's definitely plenty of opportunities to roleplay, but it doesn't feel like in the combat you have that much. Because, again, the one of the benefits of D&D's combat, despite it being a little bit rote, is that you can definitely play your character and roleplay even within the confines of combat. Like, when you're not really supposed to be speaking as in character that much, you can express yourself. And that is the most fun of all of this stuff. And if I want anything more out of Moon Hunters, it's that if they had the budget, I would hope that they'd put in more opportunities to flesh out who your character is. Because, like, these classes are amazing, and it's all based on, like, I was following this game's development for a while, because I have been following Kid Fox since, like, 2013, and, like, the concept art and the backstory that they wrote for their world is amazing, and really beautiful. Like you said, the art style is just, like, jaw-droppingly gorgeous sometimes, like, the best pixel art, but it's just, all of that is just window dressing for, like, a decent to kind of bland shooter at the end of the day. And if it had more RPG stuff, I would definitely go back to it more. But right now, it's like, if I can find people to play this with me, I would love to do a couple of campaigns. I think that'd be great. There's enough characters I've unlocked. Because I think, did you unlock the Sun Cultist after your playthrough?
I did, yeah. That's one thing that actually made me want to play more, is after you finish, it's like, oh, okay. Like, there's a bit of narration after you finish of sort of like the person who was telling the story being like, but there are more sides to the story, and there are more versions of the story, and I want to hear them. And, like, stuff starts opening up, and that's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. It knows it's a roguelike. Like, when I was playing it, it felt like, oh, my run is over, but then your character gets sent into the stars and becomes a constellation with a summary of who they were and what they did, and technically that's also framed as a stats screen, which I think is really cool. Like, the menu and like the way that you start your runs is you play as like an astral orb on an astral plane, and you pick a new game from a like menu that you physically walk around, and you can look up to the sky and like look at the narratives that you've made so far, and then just build a new one whenever you want. Like, it frames the premise of its game in a really, really cool way, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to play this game with you.
I'd be happy to do it.
Sweet.
I'd be happy to try other classes, because I tried, I think, the... I don't know, she threw fireballs and had a black hole thing.
Yep, that's the one I think I played. I think that's the one with the red hat.
Yeah, she seemed stupid good.
Yeah, she's really, really good. The melee ones are a little bit trickier, but more fun because of that.
Yeah, so I think for this one, I mean, like, I'm always going to appreciate a twin-stick roguelike that's just a specific subgenre that I enjoy a lot.
Yeah.
And yet this was a variant of it that I probably wouldn't have chased out on my own, but I also was a little unsatisfied by a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to go with 3 Garnets.
Okay, I'll take them.
All right.
Delicious.
You weighed him again. Okay, not putting him on your scorecard.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
All right. Well, Alan.
Six, I'm so sorry. You have so much editing to do. You have so much silence cutting to do.
It's my life.
It's one of those nights. Hopefully silence cutting is easy, though.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
So what is our death match?
It's, speaking of episodes where they rehash old things, technically, it's the return of Tactical Yutanori. However, if you're like me and you pay a lot of attention to music and things, it is Tactical Yutanori set against the dramatic backdrop of the 2013 Great Gatsby soundtrack.
Is that what I was like?
Every single
song.
Listening.
I was listening. I was like, "What is that? Is that Jay-Z? What's going on?"
Yeah.
It was very $100
Bills by Jay-Z, Back to Black by Beyoncé. The really, really, the surprisingly very good Lana Del Rey song, the one that's like, that one, it plays towards the end. And then just, sure, also, hey, here's Moby. And you're like, go away, Moby.
But But I was standing in line for this.
But I was standing in line. I hate that song so much. I'm so...
I like it because of how it's used on the Genius and how dumb it is.
It's so perfectly used as... I said this last week, but it's just like, someone's gonna die. Someone's about to get... Here's the play, basically.
So, this main match is really back and forth. And it's really intense. And there's a lot of emotion writing on the line. And I spent a lot of it checking my phone.
Uh-huh. This is actually the first time I felt like I ever understood the rules of tactical yutnori. Like, I actually knew what was going on. And then I was like, all right, well, this isn't fun to watch. I get it, and I don't care.
Yeah. I found it to be, like, this is the first time ever during the Genius. I loved this main match. I love this main match. It was so entertaining. This is the least entertaining I feel like the Genius has ever been.
Yeah.
Plays
going back and forth, and then there's a part where you're like, oh my god, he's gonna win, and then it gets undone like immediately, because the thing with Tecmo Yunori is like you throw these blocks, and whatever the sum of all of the things is, everybody gets like different moves that they can pick from if they want to move their piece forward or backwards on this like big complicated board. And the reason it's called Tactical Yunori instead of just the regular Yunori is going like thinking of it like a Monopoly board. Like, you start at start, and you can move forward. If you move forward and then land backwards on start by using like a jump backwards piece, that's considered finishing. So you can the devil's appeal of it is if you got like a plus one and then a minus one, you just won the game in two turns. It will never happen.
Well, and also the other thing is, in normal Yutnori, like, you're throwing sticks like you are here, but it's like rolling dice. And this, it's like you're picking the sides and the combination of sides, the sides things. Like, there's no true randomness in this.
Which just makes it just like you're watching them play a numbers game.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty boring.
And don't mind game each other. Yeah, like, I appreciate that it's good for, like, testing someone's, like, mental, like, mind gaminess and acuity and stuff. But, like, apparently for them, this deathmatch took an hour and 40 minutes, which is remarkable.
Yeah. And,
like, you know, obviously it was edited down for viewers, so it only felt like it took an hour and a half for us. Like, my god, it's so long.
It's too long. This is part of why the episode is too long.
Yeah.
And it just ends up being like, all right, well, there's other guys here, but this is Sung-Yu and Jin-Ho trying to play, like, really long-term mind games, and... It just happens to go in Jin-Ho's favor. Like, he doesn't, like, do anything brilliant. It just works out really well.
Well, he plays really well.
He
does.
Yeah. But they both play really well. Like, it's not like he is clearly dominating that whole game.
Mm-hmm.
It's back and forth for a while, and then he just makes, like, one clutch play, and it's like, all right, well, Jin-Ho won. Okay.
The thing that made me feel the worst, though, was, like, so, apparently after the main match, Ha-Ha just bounced, right? Ha-Ha had probably other obligations, and he had to go.
Right. He's like, nice to meet everybody. Bye. Good luck. He says, like, good luck to everyone, all this stuff.
But Kyung Ran's guest, Church, hangs out, and he's just sitting in that room watching them play Yutnori for an hour and 40 minutes, and he doesn't even care about it. It's just like, I felt so bad for him. He's being such a good sport, but he's like, oh, so this is what it feels like to fucking sit in a room and stare at a TV as people play a board game for an hour and 40 minutes.
Right.
Like,
when does
my
Uber
God.
Get here? That's all he's thinking about.
I just, yeah, I don't know. This, so, end of this death match, Sung-Yu loses, Sung-Yu goes home. Which, by the way, means that the bet we made last episode, I win.
Wah.
Sung-Yu went home. You can give me 15 garnets now.
Wah. Take them. Blah. That's me puking them up.
All right. I will wipe them off, because, you know, I appreciate your dedication to your bit, because you have been consistently eating your garnets, and now you're barfing them up, so that actually checks out.
I am, if anything, committed.
So is it like a bird, where you eat, like, rocks and they sit in your stomach to sort of, like, grind up food?
It's like, no, I'll tell you what it's like. It's like when you eat, I don't even know what food causes this. I guess, like, pita bread, because I eat a lot of pita bread. But you eat something that, like, chews up and balls up in your stomach really easily, and then you eat a bunch of other stuff, and for the rest of the day, you feel like you have something caught in your throat, and you're just all day, And then, like, when you're not thinking, this is kind of, hey, heads up, everyone, this is a little bit gross. eventually, you're not thinking about it, and you just go, hot. And then this, like, wad of, like, the stankest, just, like, gross pre-food comes out of your stomach. And you're like, oh, ooh, that was in me. That's my body. That's every. That's what the insides look like. And then you just spit it out, and that is what the garnets are like. That's a very specific thing that nobody's going to relate to. I'm sorry.
No. I'm sitting here like, wait, what? Like, do you need your intestinal tract checked out?
It hasn't happened in a while, but sometimes I eat certain meals that, like, just, they kind of ball up, and then they have to come out.
Huh. One time I sneezed candy corn.
Whoa.
Like a whole kernel. It fucking hurt.
What cool. Yeah, no, I don't like anything. Do you see that shit that was like, what was it? People were...
We gotta be careful. We're going down a dark road. I'm sorry, listeners.
People were snorting condoms. Yeah.
Why?
You would... No, it was... I'm trying to remember which way it went. No. I think it was... Either you snorted it and then pulled it out of your mouth, or you put it into your mouth and pulled it out of your nose. Either of those is fucking disgusting.
That's a bad idea.
No, you put it in your nose and took it out of your mouth, because if you put it in your mouth, then it would just go into your stomach. Isn't that disgusting? Isn't that the worst?
So, the current garnet counts.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, listener.
I'll be happy to break down the math here. Alan won 18 with a challenge, and then 3 more for homework, but lost 15 for a wager. Which means that your net for this episode is 6.
That's you.
That brings your total to 103 garnets. I have gained 14 from the challenge and then 15 from my wager. That means 29 net, and that brings me to a total of 144. Now, obviously, if we do some quick math, you have 103.
Uh-huh.
I have 144.
Uh-huh.
That means that between us, we have 247.
Uh-huh.
And if we use the established math from a previous episode, that means that in total, this would be worth 1,235 British pounds.
Did we really do it like that?
I did a Street Fighter the movie, 5 British pounds, bison dollars
my
joke.
Oh god, you're right, you did do that, didn't you?
I love the disappointment when you realize where my joke is coming
mm-hmm,
from.
Mm-hmm.
Still, that's a decent amount of money. I'll talk to our sponsor and we'll get that.
Is it the mattress people? So here's the thing. I'm not negative about things. But I don't think our dream is going to happen anymore. And I'm ready to make a bet on that. Okay?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
If you're betting that I'm never going to get that game industry job, like, I'm not taking that bet. I'm going to lose.
No. I'm going to tell you who's going to get eliminated next week.
Okay.
We want Six and Alan, and by extension, Haha, and by extension, the listener, hopefully, want the final game to be Kyungron versus Songmin. That would be a dream come true, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will bet. What's the difference between us right now?
Right now, I have 41 more garnets than you.
31?
41.
50 garnets says Songmin gets eliminated next week.
Wow.
We're playing the big games. We're playing the big money game.
I'm actually kind of scared of this bet.
I know. You should be. You're totally... The more I think about it, the more I'm right. Like, it's going to be close, right? It's either going to be Jinho versus Songmin, or it's going to be, like, Songmin and Kyungron, and then his cockiness is just going to slip up just a little bit.
The thing is, I think you're wrong.
Oh, no.
I think it's final match.
Uh-huh.
The final thing is Jinho versus Kyungran, and Kyungran wins. So I think Songmin has to go home next week. So I think you're right that Songmin's going home, so I can't take the bet, but I also think Kyungran is still going to win the whole thing, which was our original quote-unquote dream.
And that can still happen, yes. Okay.
And I think it will.
Yeah.
So I can't take that bet because, 50 garnets is a lot of garnets to bet against something I believe.
Can't how do you want to do that, then?
I'll bet you 25 garnets that the death match is Songmin versus Kyungran.
Fuck! And Songmin loses?
I mean, I think that's what's going to happen, but I just want to make that's the bet, that's the DM. I don't want this bet to be so complicated that there are 7 layers of me possibly losing it.
So you'd say it's Songmin versus Kyungran, and I'm saying it's Songmin versus Jinho?
I mean, it could be anyone else. It could be Kyungran versus Jinho. If it's not...
No, Songmin gets eliminated. We know Songmin gets eliminated. He super does.
We don't, though.
He has to.
I think you're probably right.
That's
but
the rules.
Like, I mean, like, then take the bet. Then it's easy win for you, right?
I don't know.
I think it's Songmin versus Kyungran.
But what if I think it's Songmin versus Kyungran?
Then don't take my bet and offer a different bet.
All right, I don't take your bet.
Okay.
I'm playing heel.
Okay.
No, it's Songmin versus Jinho. And then Songmin slips up and Jinho's like, oh god, I've won too many times. I can't, now I'm gonna have to win the whole game and I can't just win in the DM. Oh god, that's the arc. That's the arc.
Then take the bet. Okay. Then you disagree with me, so take the bet.
No, this upcoming one is going to be Kyungran versus Songmin.
Okay. I see. You mean in the final.
In the final one, it's gonna be Kyungran versus Jinho, and Kyungran's gonna win. We know that.
Well, maybe that just means we can't bet.
We've gotten too cocky. We're too confident.
I'm too... Yeah. Yeah, we're both too sure in how this is going to go.
Fuck. What do you think, listener? Send in your votes.
Did you already watch the show? Don't send them.
Don't send in your votes. Please actually don't do that. Let us have this one thing. I came close this week for some reason. I was like, I want to know who wins the genius. Wait a minute.
Just wait 2 weeks and you'll know.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just know.
I want to know who wins the genius season 3.
Yeah, I was about to say, I want to know who wins the genius season 4. That's what I want to know.
Are there 4 seasons?
Yeah, I think there is.
Let me check. The genius. Yes, there are exactly 4 seasons.
Huh, good. I love it when I'm right.
But don't worry, I know where we're going after we finish the genius.
We're going to be on the genius?
Well, are there other shows we could look into? We'll see. We'll see. I'm not forcing you into anything. We'll talk about it.
We're just going to watch infinite videos. We're going to watch infinite videos.
And then the challenges will be who can do the best lip sync. That wouldn't work. It's an audio podcast.
Yeah.
That would be the joke.
We
just
play
the same song twice. And then be like, oh, darn, Alan won this week.
That's such an annoying
really good performance.
Goop. Like, everyone would hate it, but I would so do it.
We do what we got around here.
So we're not taking bets?
I guess not. I don't think we can settle on a bet that we're happy with.
I'm not, yeah. My dad told me, stick with your guns. When you feel something strongly, you stick to it.
My dad told me, stick with your guns. Don't let those liberals take away your guns.
There it is.
Firearms.
Fire away. Wait, so then we're just going to end the episode.
I guess so.
Okay, well, thank you so much for listening to The Garnet Wager. I'm a little bit out of steam right now, Six.
Plug zone?
Yeah, maybe I need to plug myself in. I'm a robot. It's the plug zone. You can find me on the Twitter. I'm at Alan Ibrahim. That's spelled AllenIbrahim. I am 6. I am a robot. You can also listen to me on 2 other podcasts. One is Chats, a television podcast. That's CHATZ, a television podcast. Found wherever you listen to those. That's where me and my best friend John talk about television. We are going to finish The Newsroom soon. It's a bad show, and we're going to start a good show that hasn't been announced yet, but check it out. You can also listen to me on a monthly podcast called Fireside Friends, which I host with Ryan and Katie. That's on the Abnormal Mapping Podcast Network. It's a pop culture discussion show where sometimes we have guests and other times we don't. But we always have a shared experience that we enjoy, hopefully, together. It's a good time. FiresideFriends.net. I hope I said that. The latest episode is about the Warriors, and it's a good one. Six?
So if you, I'm a 6 Detmar. You can find me at 6 Detmar on Twitter. SIXDETTMAR. If you want to find my shows, I've got a pinned tweet on there with all of them. Yay! I don't have to say anything else.
Well, we gotta end the episode.
That's right, I do. Peace out. Was that good? Was that bad? Was that a week ending?
No, it's okay. Wait, week ending? Like...
Bye, folks.
Bye, I love you.